What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
Connor Livesey, joined by my co-host tonight, Dalton Miller. Cole Patterson not with us, and one day we will all three be on this podcast together again, maybe. The odds are not high, but you might want to bet on them. But the Cowboys are 1-1. They got a win in Los Angeles against the Chargers. We're going to give a few thoughts on that game and then talk about how the safeties of the Dallas Cowboys might finally not be awful. But before we get started, Dalton, how you doing?
I am fantastic. How are you doing? I mean, obviously the Cowboys won. Everybody's great. I love, personally, that the safety position is somewhat stable for the first time in my entire lifetime. And I know your entire lifetime because you're younger than me, Connor. So I am doing fantastic. I just need everybody to get back healthy. I need this offense to start scoring points again. But I do like one other thing, Connor Williams.
What's that?
And I think that we might need to talk about it because he was very, very good on Sunday.
Yeah, I think Connor Williams is very good 69% of the time.
Nice.
I think he's one of those guys that fans love to hate for some reason because he gets blown up maybe once a game and they see the clip on Twitter and then – crush him for.
Well, listen, when you're going against Fletcher Cox twice a year, that'll happen.
Yeah. But I like Connor Williams a lot. And for me, you know, a lot of people call me negative on Twitter, and maybe I am negative.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. But listen, I went on about them Cowboys. Is it about them Cowboys? The Athletic podcast with KT and John, the father Mashoda, and bunch of other people, and now I forget what my story was about. What were we just talking about, right?
Me being negative.
Yes, and so we did this whole podcast, and we were like, "Yeah, we won." We were trying to like be realistic, like, "Hey, like the defense really wasn't that good, even though they only gave up 17 points." And we were going through all this, and then everybody just was talking about how negative we were on Twitter, and I couldn't understand why because I didn't think that we were all that negative. But apparently they thought we were. I'm trying to change. But then I see some people on Twitter. Joey Ikes is one of them. I love Joey. Joey and who else am I thinking? Landon and who else? Bobby a lot of the time. Very, very hopeful, energetic, optimistic Cowboys fans. And sometimes their optimism can annoy the living crap out of me. And it shouldn't. It should, but I'm sitting here like I've lived 25 years of my life in horror. I don't remember when they were good. So I do tend to lean pessimistic when it comes to my Dallas Cowboys. It's just the way that it goes.
Yeah, and like I'm fine with being optimistic about things that are worth being optimistic about. But like,
yeah,
we can't be optimistic about a 4th-and-20 blocked punt call that – I mean, there's no optimism. I mean, I'm not going
to. I don't care about that one. I've gotten to the point where I'm busy enough where I can't have those arguments on Twitter anymore.
But
what I'm saying is for me, like,
the process behind it, we can't be like, oh, you know, like, I guess that, like, what you said is what I agree with is it's like, there's things on Twitter where they're like, well, if Cedric Wilson does this or if Noah Brown does this, that works. And it's like, yeah, but obviously those players aren't smart enough to execute those things. So if you keep making that same mistake over and over again, the definition of insanity is doing the same things over and over again and expecting different results, and we're not getting different results, so we have to then change the thought process behind it.
Yeah, I will point out, and Joey has tweeted this, that the Cowboys were 7th in DVOA last year on special teams, so I expect them to turn it around. I have already talked about my displeasure in all of the special team stuff, whether it be the roughing the punter, or whether it be any of the other late game decisions that we have screwed up as the Dallas Cowboys. And we not going to get into Mike McCarthy there, but come on, guys. What upset me was how they handled the kicking situation in the offseason. Because Greg Zuerlein was obviously not healthy. He might still not be 100%. So to not even bring anybody in, just in case his back flares up and he can't play. Like, just in case, like, have somebody around. Have somebody's cell phone number to be able to call, to bring them in to be able to kick if they need to. And I feel like they did not do that. That's the only issue that I have. I don't have any issues elsewhere because I just can't worry about it.
Well, since it was slightly brought up, I guess my biggest issues with we'll get into the safeties here in a second. We might get into some more of the things we saw from this game. But I guess my biggest issue with the coaching through 2 weeks is the inconsistencies of it. Like, we week one, there was multiple fourth downs. There was multiple situations where we felt like they should have went for it. The numbers said they should have went for it, and they either one, kicked the field goal, or two, punted, or whatever. There was multiple situations in week one where they should have, the numbers suggest that you should have gone for it on fourth down, and they didn't. And I feel like that was a common theme in 2022 where it was just inconsistent. They went for it. 2020, excuse me. But there was a common theme in 2020 where they went for it a lot, but there were situations where they should have went for it even more than they did, and they would punt or they'd kick the field goal. And it was just like, are you just winging in a prayer in it? Like, where's the thought process behind it? And I feel like that's kind of where we're at in 2021 now too, where week one, they were like 0-for-3 on go for it situations. And then in week two, they went for it on fourth down. It's just like, there's no consistency behind it. And that makes me wonder if there is a plan in place to know when to go for it, when not to, or if it's just Mike McCarthy with his free PFF account being like, oh, let's do it, let's not.
I think that it is – I think that they look at the numbers. I think that they take into account the numbers. But I think football coaches a lot of the times also go back to how their gut is feeling about a certain situation. And I think that – you know, maybe they don't go for it in week one because they don't have Zach Martin. They're not sure how that line's going to hold up on a 4th and 5, or if they're going to be able to generate a push enough to get 2 yards on a 4th and 2. You know what I mean? So maybe it is going off of the numbers, but also thinking about the situation that you're in currently and how you're feeling about your football team at the time. So I think it's a little bit of everything. I think for the most part, they're going to tend to lean aggressive. Like that is going to be their default, is going to be aggressive. And we're going to have to just take the good with the bad. It's like I was talking, you know, right after it happened, I was tweeting about it live. The swinging door formation with the little screen pass there. First time it worked, everyone's like, oh, that was a cool little wrinkle. And then when we got, you know, a little bit further down the field, and if you have a gripe about where they were doing it on the in a field position situation, if you don't want to run trick plays, you know, inside the 40, then that's a different story. But a lot of people were like, oh, I didn't like that. I didn't think that they should have done that. Well, we right. can't have our cake and eat it too.
Right.
You have to either be with going for it and being aggressive in these right. situations.
Absolutely.
Or you have to be against it.
Right. Right. And I totally agree. Like I said, it's the inconsistencies of the process that I'm griping about. Not they should have went for it here, should have went for it there. For me, it's I see you talking, but I don't hear you because you're muted.
Oh, that's my bad. I forgot that my video was on. I apologize for that. We're good. I wasn't trying to talk. You're good.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, So for me, like, it's not – I'm with you, like – you have to be one way or the other. You can't sit in the middle with that. And I'm 100% all for being aggressive on fourth down. I just don't feel like the coaching staff is. I think it's like you said, it might be a situation where it's, oh, you know, we don't have Zach Martin today. We don't feel like we can run it for 2 yards. But I guess for me, it would then go back to, well, you didn't have Lyle Collins and you had Terrence Steele against Joey Bosa, who's a great run defender, great pass rusher. Like, you went for it on the fourth down early in the game, which threw an incomplete pass but got the pass interference on Amari Cooper, so it's all good and well. And then you went for it later again where they throw the comeback to Amari Cooper and they didn't get the DPI, which should have been, they should have converted on both of those fourth downs, in my opinion, with two pass interference calls. They only got one of them. But I don't, when I'm on the Blogging the Boys Twitter account and I'm tweeting there, like, the thing I try to do is when they do line up to go for it on fourth down, I try to tweet before the play's made, you know, even if they don't get this, this is the right decision. So, like, yeah, that's kind of what I try to do before the play's made, because it's, you don't want to have that hindsight. You don't want to have that hindsight 2020 where you wait for the play to happen and then complain about it, or you wait for the play to happen and then cheer it on. So I try to, like, put those tweets out before it happens. That way people can't, you know, say we're flipping flopping, or can't say we're having that hindsight 2020 on it. So, but is there anything else in that game that you want to talk about before we move on to this safety group?
No, I mean, I think it's been talked about enough now, but Micah Parsons was fantastic. I just wanted to bring that up, so I'm on the record of saying it. I wrote about it, so if you guys want to know more of my thoughts, you guys can go check that out. But yeah,
I
thought he was fantastic, and my favorite thing about it, that something that I will say about it, is I felt like them getting him away from Slater after the first couple of reps that he played against him, I think that was really, really smart, because they took him over to the backup that was terrible and he dominated over there. And, so I thought that was good.
And I wanted to bring up, just because I don't see him mentioned enough, is I liked, maybe, you know, obviously wasn't on Micah Parsons' level, but like, I liked what I saw from Bradley and I and the limited snaps he got. You know, he had two pass rush wins I saw against Rashawn Slater. Did some nice work over there. Again, it wasn't a flashy day for him, but he won on two pass rush reps against Rashawn Slater. I'm not sure if they're going to register it as a pressure or hurry or not, but he got some pressure on Justin Herbert, who had kind of started moving out of the pocket before Anai even won, but then he kind of hunted him down a little bit later on in the play. So I like what we saw from Anai. I thought Armstrong played pretty well. You know, it wasn't a ton of pressure in Herbert's face all day, and a lot of it was from Micah Parsons and Osa Odighizuwa, but I thought the reserve defensive ends played relatively well. I thought the defense as a whole played relatively well, and if they're going to keep getting turnovers at the rate they are, then, you know, I think this team's got a chance to do a lot of good things, get in the playoffs and do something.
Osa's awesome.
Yeah.
Osa's really good. He's really surprised me so far this year.
Yeah, definitely agree.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Beloved brands know customer relationships are everything. That's why over 130,000 trust Klaviyo to power smarter digital relationships across their websites, emails, SMS, and reviews. And now there's Klaviyo AI, your guide to smarter insights, decisions, work, and results. Brands like Everyman Jack trust Klaviyo AI to personalize product recommendations that keep customers coming back. Discover Klaviyo AI at klaviyo.com/Vox. That's KLAVIYO.com/Vox.
some others that have surprised us were these safeties, and I think that's where we're going to go next. With Donovan Wilson out, I'm sure everybody was a little concerned of what that safety group would look like. You know, you got Malik Hooker making his debut, but he's not a strong safety. DeMonte Kazee's not a strong safety, so you're lining up pretty much two free safeties to play that role. But Jayron Kearse has stepped up big, had a huge game. I thought he was probably the best safety on the field, in my opinion, but that's not to knock DeMonte Kazee because I thought he was really good too, had a really big turnover late in the game that pretty much set the Cowboys up for the win. But what did you think of this safety group? We'll talk a little bit about week one with Donovan Wilson, and then what did you maybe see in week two that made you feel a little bit better about this group or a little bit worse, whatever it is?
Jayron Kearse can play a little bit. For real, he really flashed me during the game, and I haven't watched how he performed in depth. I kind of just watched the defense for Micah. But man, like I really liked what I saw from him flying around trying to go after the football. Jayron Kearse was, he made a really nice play on a play that Justin Herbert was pressured on, and he drove on the ball and almost had a really nice diving pick. He probably should have caught it. He had a chance at it and didn't quite make the play, but love to see him flying around. It's just nice to have guys that are serviceable back there for once. And they're moving guys around. They're running a lot more quarters coverage than I thought they would as well. So I like that they're mixing things up, but they're keeping their quarters coverage simple. Not like Mike Nolan was last year, where he was trying to do too much and read from 5 to 7. And do a lot of the more complex things when it comes to quarters. They're keeping it a lot more basic. And I think it's working. I think mixing things up pre and post snap a little bit is working. The defense is still not good. And I think that just kind of comes from, we watched them play two good offenses. And even though they only give up 17 points, the Chargers were able to move the football. Untimely penalties kind of hurt their offense overall, but it is better than I expected it to be, and I do acknowledge that they went up against two really good offenses in Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense, and now the Chargers. So I do really respect what they've been able to accomplish so far.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think what we saw from Jayron Kearse last week should give him some more snaps, and that's not saying to start him over Donovan Wilson, because I think Wilson has shown the ability to be a playmaker as well, to force fumbles, to be a force against the run, to be a good blitzer and all that. But I mean, Jayron Kearse kind of did all the things we like from Donovan Wilson. He had some pressures on some blitzes. He showed up in coverage more than we've ever seen Donovan Wilson. And then he was good against the run too. He had some good run fills and made some plays, against the run. So, I mean, I thought we saw probably the most complete game from the safeties that, like you said, we've seen in a long time, with DeMonte Kazee playing in coverage, having the interception in the end zone to really give the Cowboys a chance to win that game.
Jayron Kearse's pass interference was bull crap.
Oh yeah,
too.
That was 1,000%.
I almost accidentally cursed there.
It would have been okay, but
I try not to. This is a professional setting. I'm not really trying to curse all that much, but it was BS. That was a BS
absolutely.
Call. And for me, it's not even that it was BS. If you want to call that, that's fine. Call the
one on Amari.
And this isn't just the refs were bad against the Cowboys thing, because they weren't bad.
they
weren't bad just against the Cowboys. They were just bad
in
general. And they really screwed the Chargers a couple of times in that game.
I was going to say, they definitely hurt the Chargers more than the Cowboys in that game. Really, the DPI against Amari was probably the biggest call that I saw, and they might have missed a few holdings against Cowboys defense. But, I mean, the Chargers fans got to be hot right now. It's kind of like what we were like last week when we feel like the OPI should have been called against Chris Godwin and it didn't get called. Like, there's a lot of that stuff that happened with the Chargers that if you're a Chargers fan, you got to be a little disappointed in the way that game was officiated. But you just got to understand that that's going to happen 3-4 times a year with how bad these officials are. What'd you see from Malik Hooker? Because he had the big run fill for the tackle for loss, which is something we haven't seen from Hooker a lot throughout his career. But he also showed up in coverage a little bit. He didn't have a PBU, and he didn't.
Wait, hold up. Do we have Cole Patterson in the house right now? Cole, if you're in the house, can you please unmute your microphone, sir?
Wait, is he really?
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm here. How are y'all? Sorry, I'm late.
It's all good. No problem. Let's talk about these things.
How did you know Cole was in here? Because he's not popping up on my thing.
He's up at the top right. I saw him.
I was letting y'all finish y'all's take. I didn't want to interrupt about the safeties and
I saw that Cole popped on, so I figured I'd give him the opportunity to talk about Malik Hooker a little bit.
Let's get your thoughts on Jayron Kearse and Damontae Kazee, and then we'll all talk about Malik Hooker a little bit.
Yeah, no, I caught the end of what you guys are saying. I really can't agree more. I think the safeties really played well on Sunday, especially Kearse. I think he caught everybody's eye. I heard y'all mention the bogus pass interference penalty, but man, he was all over the field, and that's something we haven't really seen from the safety position with the Cowboys in a while now. And you know, especially with Donovan Wilson, I wasn't sure what to expect from the unit going into Sunday against Justin Herbert. Gets a pretty good passing attack. So Jayron Kearse, Malik Hooker, KZ, all the guys really caught my eye. They made some big plays, obviously, with KZ and with the interception in the end zone. It was really refreshing to see defensive backs not only come away with takeaways, but just, you know, make plays all over the field. And I think that has to, you know, provide some confidence, some optimism, all that kind of stuff, you know, moving forward throughout the season.
All right, let's move on to Malik Hooker. And Cole, since you're joining us late, you didn't get a whole lot of touch on some of the stuff we talked on before. I'm going to let you start on Malik Hooker, too. What did you see from Hooker? And, I mean, again, like, there's a really good chance that you're going to see, I think, you know, from now on, you'll probably see Malik Hooker, Jayron Kearse, Donovan Wilson, and Damontae Kazee all get the active game day call-up and probably get, you know, a lot of playing time. So what did you see from Hooker? And maybe touch on a little bit of how you see these guys working into game time and playing time for the rest of the year going forward.
Yeah, I wasn't too sure what to expect from Hooker just because, you know, he's a guy that struggled with injuries. We haven't really seen much of him during the preseason. Took him a while to get involved in training camp when the Cowboys signed a little bit late, things like that. So I wasn't sure what to expect with him. Like I said, with the safeties as a whole without Donovan Wilson, wasn't really too confident in the position. But yeah, Malik Hooker, I thought, played really well on Sunday. He made some plays, you know, in run support that really caught my eye. He was able to fill the gap. He was able to make some plays in the backfield against a good rushing attack. You know, the Chargers are good offensively all around. They can hurt you through the air. They can hurt you on the ground. And Hooker's a guy that I think really stepped up in a big way. They like to play him down near the box. You know, he's kind of a guy that's a little bit known for his interception ability, his ability in coverage, but they're playing him near the box a lot, which I thought was interesting. And I wonder how they're going to use him and Donovan Wilson together when Wilson is back, just because Wilson seems to be better in that same kind of role. You know, he's better downhill than he is necessarily in coverage, but I think Malik Hooker playing well on Sunday has to give you confidence as a Cowboys fan, has to give you confidence if you're Dan Quinn as well, because right now it looks like you have a trio, say really four safeties, because Z obviously in there as well with Kearse, that you can rely on and make some plays. They may not be, you know, the big elite safety that we've been begging for a while, but I came away impressed with Malik Hooker. I don't mean to, you know, keep rambling on, but from what he did on Sunday, I think it's a good sign moving forward. So I say, I mean, he's a guy that's been hurt and stuff. So him being able to make some plays, him being involved in the run game and just making a positive impact on this defense, it was really encouraging to see.
Dalton, what are the odds that we can turn Donovan Wilson into our version of the Jamal Adams DPR?
No, that's what Micah is.
Yeah, what if we have two
Two different guys.
No, how about what if we just have Donovan Wilson play safety and every once in a while blitz? Because this whole every once in a while blitzing thing for Donovan Wilson seems to go pretty well. So let's just keep it every once in a while. Have him get a sack every, you know, five or six games. Have it be big. He'll probably force a fumble and just be generally awesome. We don't need to turn him into a designated pass rusher. He's not Jamal Adams. That's Micah Parsons.
But what if I tell you that J-Ron Curse is better than Donovan Wilson?
I bet you better say that to a Texas A&M Aggie's face.
I will, because I think, I mean.
We've only seen J-Ron Curse for very, very little amount of time now.
I agree.
Are you calling your shot right now on J-Ron Curse?
I think I am.
Being better than Dono.
Bold.
I am.
That is bold, my friend. I'm glad that we have that.
J-Ron Curse made more plays in coverage yesterday than Donovan Wilson's made in his entire career.
He did look really impressive.
All right. Well, now you're going to make me go back and watch just J-Ron Curse tape now. Thanks, Connor. It's not like I'm not busy enough. I cover 32 NFL teams.
I'm interested to see how it progresses, because I think if you get 16 games of that J-Ron Curse, you're like trying to extend them by the end of the year and bring him back. And
there's a time, I think we talked about on this podcast, so we weren't 100% sure if he made the roster, if he was going to make the roster or not. I think we all thought he should or whatever, but there was some question, at least from some people, towards that 53-man roster cut. So I don't think the Cowboys is necessarily saw Sunday coming either.
Yeah, no, I mean, I 100% agree. I think towards the end of preseason, we saw him, you know, we saw the writing on the wall a little bit that he'd probably play a bigger role than we thought. But yeah, I mean, through training camp, like, he wasn't being talked about. It was Kazee, and shoot, we were talking about how the safeties didn't look good. You know, we were talking about how weak they looked, and that looks like it's the strength of your defense right now.
I apologize if you already touched on it, but how do you use all four of the safeties when Wilson comes back? Who's the odd man out, or do they find a role for all four guys?
That was my question there for Dalton. It's like, is there a way that you can – because they did play some three safety sets on Sunday, so it's like, is there ways that you can get Hooker, Kazee, and, you know, Curse on the field and then have
– Absolutely.
Wilson be your Jamal Adams, like.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, your corners are kind of bad, so you might as well take them off the field anyways. Run some big nickel. Have three safeties on the field at the same time. Have, you know, Kazee, Hooker, and Dono in on, you know, passing downs, but heavier sets. Like, if the defense is in 12 personnel, you can, and it's like 3rd and 7 for whatever reason, then you go big nickel instead of going base and have Curse on one of those tight ends, and that's kind of how you would do things. You can mix and match the personnel around, and you can bring guys in and out depending on the situation as well. You don't just have to say, hey, you're my starting strong safety, you're my starting free safety, and that's how we're going to do things. No, you can move these guys in and out, move them around, and I think that's going to kind of be how they do it, because they're all kind of at the same level.
Well, we're used to them having Xavier Woods and Jeff Heath, and like behind them was nothing. So it's like, for the first time, and like we keep saying, for the first time in what seems like forever, you got three or four guys that can kind of interchange, and you're not going to miss a beat. Even though we're not trying to sit here and call Xavier Woods and Jeff Heath Hall of Famers, like if you were putting Darian Thompson on the field, it was getting ugly. So you now got your Hookers or your Curses or whatever it is, like you can interchange those guys in and out, and it's really not going to kill you. And I mean, I just like that they have two what we call strong safeties that are probably more of your, I don't know, I mean, like that's what I thought Curse was, but then he comes out and he makes some really nice plays in coverage. So I mean, Curse might be your do-it-all type of guy, and then, you know, Hooker and Kazee, you're going to be your frees, and they'll be playing that center field role and go get, you know, go get the football like Kazee's shown the last 2 weeks, and Donovan can be your run defending, come forward with some force behind it, and be your blitzer and all that. So, I mean, they kind of got, like I said, four interchangeable safeties that all do similar yet different things. And that's kind of why I think this unit's playing so well, because they can kind of, what Brent Urban told me and Cole a couple weeks ago, is like some of their guys on the different levels of the defense are just so interchangeable, and they can disguise things and they can match up with guys so well. And that's kind of what it's showing to be through 2 weeks. Y'all got anything else?
No, I mean, I don't think so. I'm excited. They go on a little run of games that I don't think they're going to have to worry too much about from a better than them standpoint.
Who? The Panthers are going to be 3-0 when they play the Panthers in week four.
Yes, they will be. And the Cowboys will be favored.
Who had that coming?
No, I didn't. I mean, I didn't have the Panthers beating the Saints. Yeah, I had them winning week one.
The shit out of the Saints, though.
Yeah, they beat them down, man. Yeah. It was an ugly, ugly game from that Saints offense. It really
made
was.
Jameis look terrible after.
I think Jameis made himself look terrible.
The Panthers defense.
I mean, look at their past two drafts. They've spent all of their assets on the defensive side of the ball.
Brian Burns is one of the most underrated edge rushers in the NFL.
Standing. Derek Brown is great. They have what's his name? Small
Dante
school
Jackson,
safety.
Jeremy Chin.
If they start losing football games like I thought they were this season, they might have Kyle Hamilton and Jeremy Chin next year. It's just, dude, something. It could get crazy, bro.
Now they get to play Davis Mills on Thursday Night Football.
Yep,
it's gonna be a bloodbath.
Can't wait to schedule dinner plans for Thursday. Won't be watching that one.
Guess who's going to be working it? This guy.
Really?
Not me.
Yeah, I work all the games because I update power rankings after every game.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Maybe it'll be entertaining then.
We'll find out.
Real quick, can we just talk about my fantasy football team for a second?
Absolutely. Get the hell out of here. No, we're not going to talk about fantasy.
From
we're not
Aaron
talk about
Jones
fantasy
last night.
Football. Can you on a Cowboys podcast, Connor? I promise you, nobody cares.
I had like
nobody cares.
Connor, to win
Connor, listen.
And I did see your tweet.
And the podcast. And the podcast. We're going to get a bad review off of this.
Tutties.
And the podcast. End the podcast. We're going to get a negative review because you're talking about your stupid fantasy team. Nobody cares. I cannot overstate that. Nobody cares.
Four touchdowns.
Stop it. End the podcast. I love you guys. If I have to end the podcast, I will.
Aaron Jones scored four touchdowns.
I watched it. I updated the power rankings. I know.
All right, we're done. Thank you all for listening.
Yeah, I had to get that in there.
I guess leave us a negative review because...
No, don't leave us. You're not supposed to tell people to leave negative reviews, Connor. What are you doing?
Please let me know in the comments section who your favorite fantasy football player is on my fantasy football team. And it's your only hint is I have Aaron Jones, and he scored four touchdowns last night on Monday Night Football against the Detroit Lions. So, yeah, just do that. We're talking Star, and we'll see you guys next week. Peace.
All right.